This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Rob Topping. Rob has a firm, Topping Capital, does fascinating things, and excited to visit with him today. Rob, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yes. Thanks, Scott, for the opportunity. I'm Rob Topping. I live and work in Evanston, Illinois, first suburb north of Chicago, where Northwestern University is located. Actually calling from a remote place of northern Michigan right now. And Topping Capital is a firm that's everything alternative, which really means real estate, hedge funds, and early stage VC are kind of our three primary areas of focus. But we're believers that public and private markets have converged, or we're seeing convergence there, and a little bit of the same thing between private equity and VC. So we kind of play in all places, totally opportunistic model.
And talk to us about what you're seeing today in terms of opportunistic. What's out there? What are people seeing that's working today, that people are investing in, that they feel confident in, and so forth?
Sure. And our perspective is both as an investor and a sourcer of capital. So whether it's PE or VC, we can be on either side of that market. So it's an interesting perspective. Also the fact that we see it both through the prism of public markets and private markets. My background's having launched a hedge fund in 1998. And, you know, you're seeing SPACs are probably the best example of kind of convergence of public and private markets. But I think specific to private equity, you know, what's most interesting or most relevant probably would be the conveyance that you're seeing kind of the intersection of cost of capital providing big tailwinds in terms of artificial suppression of interest rates with quantitative easing makes cost of capital and utilization of leverage a big tailwind for private equity. And that's intersecting with, you know, the total disruption to many business models of what happened with COVID and coronavirus. So there's those that were right in the headwinds of that, and that creates kind of market opportunities as to roll-ups or, you know, people in search of entities, in search of capital, or the ability to aggregate. But also many businesses, surprisingly, you know, has created big tailwinds and accelerated or compressed time to their business model. What might have taken 5 years all of a sudden, you know, can happen in 2 years because everything's accelerated in terms of trends that were already in place.
And talk about the investment market. Are people putting money to work again? Has there been a slowdown in that? What are you seeing in terms of investing?
There is a significant amount of capital out there. I would say, you know, probably March through June, it slowed down from a standpoint of everybody, you know, stepping back and wanting to see how the dust settled and what direction things were taking. But there's a significant amount of capital, and I do think it's getting deployed, you know, quickly in places. It's interesting too, because I mentioned intersection or convergence. You know, when you look at private equity, it's been so competitive that multiples of cash flow to buy businesses, you know, has gone up, made it more expensive. And so you've seen some private equity firms either roll down in their profile of what they're looking for, where they're willing to look for smaller companies where it's less competitive, or kind of accelerate in terms of the aggregation, you know, having a platform company and being able to acquire pieces around it and aggregate. At the same time that that's been happening, the venture capital firms that have had, you know, some of them had large exits, or they've had big success in their first and second fund, where the third fund's much bigger than the first two. While the private equity are effectively going downstream, they're effectively going upstream, where they're coming into companies, you know, further in their life cycle. And so the fact that they're going upstream and private equity is going downstream, you know, the two are starting to intersect in some places. So you see companies that are startups that have a lot of traction, you know, and get a Series A, B round, and then, you know, and then some of the interested parties are coming from the private equity side. And that would be pertinent to probably SaaS in terms of software as a service, you know, recurring revenue models. It would be pertinent to food and food technology, where you're having a major disruption of a long antiquated category. And then probably also, I'm trying to think of, you know, other categories, things related to automation, things related to personalization in terms of wellness and health sector, you know, that. And then maybe a little bit of a move too from, you know, dollars that were flowing into the gig economy that are effectively starting to target now the creator economy, which is just, you know, another form of personalization, but on the small business side.
Just fascinating. And then when you look at your crystal ball, you mentioned a number of sectors that really tie to technology. Are there still in-person businesses that excite you, that excite what you do and where your investors see value?
When you say in-person meaning to kick the tires, or in-person in terms of their sell-through?
Yeah, their business model, their sell-through, what they actually do. Is there still like, so much has gone into software as a service models. I mean, that's an era that's exploded over the last 20 years, and particularly over the last 5 to 10 years, small and big. And flip side is sort of the in-person restaurant business is more challenging right now. But are there in-person businesses, or is all things flowing towards technology-driven things? Is there some, any sense of that issue?
Yeah, I think there. I mean, maybe some of the earlier dollars coming out of that March June period, you know, flow to the tailwinds of it. But you know, when you speak of in-person businesses and, you know, what were headwinds there, I think you're now starting to see money move in that direction for a few reasons. I probably put it in, you know, maybe three categories. You know, ironically, one category would be, I've seen probably just in the last week or two companies that look like they're on the cusp of kind of breaking out, and yet they're like 10 to 15 years old and 25 to 100 million raised over the life of the company. You know, so there's that kind of fly under the radar. There's the, you know, more traditional, whether it's restaurants or fitness places, that the public markets are telling you know, they're kind of seeing through to the reopening of the economy. So, you know, while that March through June period saw the likeness of, say, Teladoc or Peloton or Zoom, and some of these models have big run-ups, you've started to see strength out of stocks like casinos and Planet Fitness, and some of the restaurants telling you, you know, or signaling to the private market that they may, I mean, we may be looking through this, and, you know, if pandemics in the last 100 years have typically, you know, been a year or under, then we should start to see through that. And so I think you're starting to see money flow to the companies that were in those headwinds, but coming out of it are sitting with bigger opportunities than they had going in, either because of roll-up opportunities or because their balance sheet was better, and or because they did slight pivots that allowed them to bring in revenue, you know, from ancillary parts that kept them running ahead of the crowd. And now, you know, they're ahead of the competition and are sitting there with big opportunity. So I do think money now, this quarter and next quarter, will be pretty active to that.
Fascinating perspective. And your point on, do these things hit a natural pandemic or disease curve, even without vaccines or everything else, is a great question. I do think that you hit it right, that people are starting to see through to what does the next couple of years look like, and not being quite as maybe as anxious as they've been the last 6 months or so. So starting to see some of those opportunities. Rob, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Scott. It's fascinating times, and I can't think of really any time in my lifetime that we've seen the intersection of, you know, pandemic and presidential election and innovation and technology all kind of intersecting. That's in central banks, you know, being very involved. So fascinating time in history, creates a lot of opportunity.
It sure is. The next time that we have you on, I want to ask you about the central bank and the future of interest rates and yields and where that's going. We'll leave that for another discussion. But Rob, thank you so much for joining the Private Equity Podcast today. What a pleasure to visit with you as always.
Thanks very much, Scott. Thanks, Kate, and appreciate the opportunity.